Well, I'm certainly delighted to be here speaking to a resident of the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. She has a young 4-year-old. So I'm interested in really, really understanding how parents actually feel about COVID-19. This is not really a time to discover whether or not COVID-19 vaccinations is accepted by everybody within the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. So I've made a big effort to select someone who is not necessarily for vaccinations. I really want to dig deep into her thoughts, thinking about her own personal circumstances, also thinking about the fact that she has a child who is 4 years old. You know, what does she think about vaccinations? What does she think about how she will actually address the situation and the potential, you know, discovery of more variants moving forward? So let's just dive in, and I'm going to ask my first question. Considering that almost 1,500 children aged 17 or younger have lost their lives to COVID-19, and more than 45,000 children younger than 5 years old have been admitted to hospital for the same reason, with more than 1,550 deaths only in the UK, would you consider giving your child a vaccine shot?
Absolutely not.
Wow. I'm surprised. It's really, really quite bold. Okay, tell me why.
The reason why I'm thinking this way is because I believe we're still in a trial for the COVID, and we don't have enough evidence to kind of understand the long-term effects that they will have, especially in children so young. And you were rightly said, my son is only 4 years old, so I really don't want to have any regrets along the line.
So is it a question of the age or vaccinations as a whole? So obviously your son is 4 years old. So let's say he was a little bit older, I suppose within the next sort of 6 years, there'll be more data, and he maybe say, I was 10 years old. Would you then decide that, hey, this is a good time for me to consider vaccination? I mean, what is it in the data you're looking for? Because when people say, I'm looking for more data, I'm just thinking, well, what data do you want? What is it you want to see to make you feel confident?
I need to see that there's no long-term effects. So say, for example, there was a lot of, I don't know whether it's a rumor, if true or not, but like they said, there's always a portion of reality in all the rumors that you hear. And I believe that the rumors were saying that probably you will, you know, will have an impact in your fertility, or there's going to be something like that. So I'd rather not risk it, especially not for my son.
Okay, so this is really interesting. When we talk about rumors and when we think about where those rumors are coming from, where did you hear about all of this? Was it from? I'm not even going to actually make any assumption as to where you heard these rumors from. Just tell me, where did you hear these rumors from?
In the streets. I talked to a lot of people.
On the street? A random person just on the street just comes up to you?
Person, but this is what you hear specifically when you're asking questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was mindful due to the fact that for sure I'm a mother. But I truly believe that I was happy that like it was not something that needed to be 100% strict. Mm-hmm. A vaccine of mm-hmm. a child that's so mm-hmm. young. But at the same time, I was just thinking, should I, you know, contemplated the idea, am mm-hmm. I going to vaccinate my son? Should I not? And then questioning, and that's why I came out on the street like that. In general, like, I mean, it's like at school, at nursery specifically, you know, my acquaintances.
So it's all the mums. So you would say that you go to nursery, you're all there, you're all mums with children under four, and you're talking about the potential of these COVID-19 vaccinations causing infertility. This is the discussion. This is the word on the street, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's that, and also not knowing exactly what's going to happen in the long term. So if there's going to be any additional, apart from like not having, you know, or affecting the fertility, that means. But so that's the reason why I was a little bit hesitant and saying. Now, that being said, I really believe that all the other vaccinations, I am pro for that.
You are pro. So yeah. I'm thinking that COVID-19 is just a little bit too young for you in terms of the vaccination because you don't have that data. So you want that validation. And when you sort of look into the whole aspect of fertility. Let's go into that a little bit more. I mean, what data are you looking for? Are you expecting, you know, that data to be a study that has been carried out for the past or for the next 10 years? Because realistically, if a child who's under 10 has had a vaccination, you're not going to have access to that data for about 10 years, right?
Right. That's absolutely correct. And the best example that I could give, for example, would be like the chickenpox vaccination, mm-hmm. which my son is actually double vaccinated.
Okay.
I know the NHS is not even giving that. So I actually had to go ahead and do it privately.
That's amazing, actually. I didn't know that even existed, chickenpox vaccination. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So you see, I am pro-vaccinations, but not specifically for the COVID-19 vaccination.
Okay.
Because like... unlike the COVID one, for the chickenpox vaccinations, it's been globally done. And we have many years that there have been giving it to all around the world, myself included.
Yes.
And I think that there's no side effects nor anything wrong for that. And mind you, my son will still be able to have chickenpox, but definitely in a milder version, which is the best.
Okay, so another question. If your child was 16, by then you would have had access, I imagine, to about 10 years of data, mm-hmm. and he's older. Would that change your decision, affect your decision in terms of giving him a vaccination?
You know, 10 years, 12 years now down the road, maybe we were not even going to be talking about COVID. Who wants to go back to that? The irreality situation that we were facing in 2020, right? Nobody even could imagine that we were going to go back or like even live like we did, or even having a lockdown. So I think that hopefully by then we're not even going to talk about this subject. But then, yes, I mean, at least with 10 years of a trial or of knowing exactly, I've been myself vaccinated, by the way.
Okay.
So I maybe in 10 years time we'll know. So mm-hmm. that would be a total different ball game.
Well, that's really interesting. It's fascinating because, you know, the power of the voice of the mums on the street, the mums in the nursery. And again, they must be, I don't want to make any assumptions in terms of where they're accessing their information from. They're accessing it from somewhere, from what they believe to be a credible source. And wherever they're accessing this information, it's powerful because it's really, really having a massive impact on what their decision is. Okay, fantastic. Let's move on to the second question. Since you are already vaccinated, as you've said, which is good to hear, you don't have any issues with them particularly from what you have said. But given that there are so many new variants of COVID-19 emerging one after the other, would you be willing to get a booster shot?
Yeah, well, so I've been double vaccinated. I haven't had the booster. And quite frankly, I'm not planning on having so. And the reason for this is actually I myself had a little bit of an issue personally with my health due to the, I don't know if it was because of the vaccines or not, but I did had a little bit of like in my menstrual cycle, a little bit of an issue there.
Okay. So effectively, some of your health issues, you think that perhaps it is a side effect of the COVID-19 vaccination.
Yes,
right?
So I will correct you. It was not really a health issue per se, exactly. Mm. I just had a little bit of with my menstrual cycle.
Okay, there was an issue there, let's say. An issue that has caused you enough concern for you to sort of make this decision that the booster shot is not for you. You don't want to go there. You don't want to get the next shot.
And also with, I will go forward in saying that I contacted the GP and the GP has said that there has been a lot of cases of women that have been vaccinated and have had issues with a menstrual cycle.
Okay. And without actually naming the manufacturer of the vaccine, is it being a consistent pattern from what your GP has said? Is it that they've all been on the same sort of vaccination manufacturer, or didn't ask specifically?
Yeah, whether it was the vaccine that I had, they actually just flagged it as, you know, as this has been an effect.
An effect. Okay.
A common issue mm-hmm. with the women that have been vaccinated.
Okay. Well, you know, it's really insightful speaking to you because, you know, this is a really complicated subject. It's not a straightforward, well, I don't want to get vaccinated because, or, and those who have actually gone out of their way to be vaccinated, such as yourself, have had some sort of issue. And this is something that I am expecting with time we'll be able to evaluate a lot more, really investigate what has gone on there, because clearly, if this is a concern for women, we need to look at how it can potentially be eradicated. And the only way we can do that is through data sort of evaluation and really, really digging deep into what has, you know, happened, what has gone wrong, what we can do next, how we're going to move forward. Okay, so this is our third question. Many believe that getting a shot when you have underlying conditions such as diabetes or cardiovascular issues can worsen your condition. This is a challenge physicians face to meet these concerns head on. What is your take on vaccines for such patients?
I highly recommend for them to do research and more research and more research.
Where would they get this research? Because yourselves and your peers, you know, all you mums, you're getting your research data from somewhere. So someone who has a cardiovascular condition, where would you tell them to go and get their information?
Definitely with a practitioner that they're actually being looked after. That's the best.
So you think they should go to the doctor?
Absolutely. The doctor, the GP, there have to be. I mean, if they have a current, constant, specific issue, health issue, they definitely have to be very well advised by a professional. Not from someone in the street, like I said before, or gossip in a supermarket.
Okay.
Or aisle or something like that.
Okay. So the next question I have, the fourth question, is many pregnant women refrain from getting vaccinated during the term of their pregnancy, believing the vaccine is still in the trial phase, or that it can cause infertility, which we covered a little bit of that earlier on. What are your thoughts regarding vaccination during pregnancy?
100% to avoid, and that's my personal opinion. I mean, I've been pregnant, and I mean, luckily enough, way before the COVID era, but I was so conscious in what I was intaking in my body and even breathing sometimes. So I would totally avoid it. If I were to become pregnant,
And you know, there have been some cases with women who have fallen pregnant during COVID and they didn't actually take the vaccine because they had these fears. And some of them really became incredibly ill. What are your thoughts towards that?
I mean, could you would have prevented in any shape or form? That's one thing that I would say. Having a vaccine that, again, that has not been tested, what is the long-term effects, and being pregnant that could eventually have an impact on the fetus. I don't know if I would do something like that. I would totally try to encourage to take different measurements opposed to the vaccine itself.
And then the next question. Vaccinations have gotten us through a rough patch where many lives were lost, but there is no way of knowing when things can go downhill. In your opinion, is a booster shot the right option to prevent a catastrophe that the world faced back in 2020?
Currently nowadays, I think that even there's a lot of people that even forgot about COVID, if I may say so. I know it sounds funny and nobody would ever put or even forget about this era that we lived in. But I think that there is that it brought a lot of consciousness right now. So to answer the questions and not go completely off the question, I don't think that the booster shot right now, and even people would even be inclined to take one, because currently right now what's like the rumors are in the street. And then again, like you say, it's more like, you know, if you happen to get COVID, it will be kind of like a strong flu. Sometimes some people even might have COVID and they would even know that they have COVID. Some acquaintances I do know that they have had COVID and they're totally fine. They were like, yeah, I don't feel anything, but I tested positive, but I'm staying at home. And so, yeah, I'm not quite sure that a lot of people will be inclined to go for a booster.
So I'm thinking then that this issue of the booster shot, there needs to be more validation to it. There needs to be more of a, well, you know, this is essential. It's needed. It's going to really resolve a problem that is going to arise. And it's really going to ensure that I'm kept safe and healthy. And right now, the booster shot Is it the fact that it's an injection, or, you know, when you are traveling to certain countries and you take a, you know, malaria and you have to take these pills and all sorts, is it the shot? Is that the problem? Or is it that if it was kind of available as a pill or something else, would that make you feel that this was more of a essential need, something that you need to really, really take, or something that's just more accessible?
I'm not afraid of needles. I mean, I don't want to sound repetitive, but I will be like, once again, like saying, I don't know the side effects. And because currently right now, I think that everybody is, if they're contracting COVID at all, they're fine. And I mean, I luckily enough, and I will be touching wood, I haven't even had COVID myself. I have been double vaccinated, but not with a booster. So I'm not quite sure that I will, you know, even if it's a pill, will take it. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does indeed. It really does. This is really quite fascinating. I need to ask another question though. Just following on from this whole booster idea, how do you feel about antibiotics? Have you ever taken antibiotics or anything like that?
Yeah, I've had, but I mean, not recently, but I don't think that it will be, I don't feel that an antibiotic should be put place in the same level of a COVID booster.
But would you feel more sort of reassured if for example, there was the development of these almost antibiotic type remedies, really, that are not as strong as the booster, but could potentially help you, you know, basically build your immune system? Is that something that you're a bit more, you know, open to? So, for example, if you were traveling abroad and there was the option, okay, you have a booster shot or you can have these sort of, you know, antibiotic type, you know, pills or whatever they are. Is this something that you would take more readily? I mean, obviously, these aren't just, you know, off-the-shelf things. These would be tested, you know, going through trials, etc. But I'm just sort of wondering whether the booster shot, the whole publicity around it, and just the word on the streets in Kensington, it just seems just so vocal and so strong. And this is the reason why I really wanted to get to the bottom of it. I really wanted to bring in someone like yourself. I'm so happy that you're here, because it's really important for us to really, really, you're welcome, really dig into exactly what the issues are here and what the barriers are. How can we address any issues that are within that community, the hesitancy? What is it that we can do to help? Because this is all about the aspects of the health of citizens, the health of residents of the RBKC. And obviously, the Health Equalities Program is all about developing health within the community, making sure that we sustain it. So tell me, what do you think?
As the way you're putting it right now, yes, I will be open to understand and to hear a little bit more about it and see also, as you said, like how, what's the community have to say about it?
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of this, I think, is about sort of positioning potentially, because I suppose when people think booster, you think, oh my God, boosting. You know, you think of this some kind of powerful, and then you have booster shot. So you've already got the word booster, and then you've got shot next to it. And people are thinking, God, what's this going to do to me? So it's interesting just to hear how we can address the issues of health, how we can address the issues of COVID, how we're going to live with COVID-19 moving forward. What is it that scientists can do, should do, manufacturers, you know, in the US, in the UK, what their focus should be on, and what it is that is going to enable people to be more open to, you know, investigating or even just trying any remedy that is actually going to be a benefit of their health. Okay, fantastic. So let me get to the next question, which I think we've probably covered a little bit before. It is something that we are asked quite a lot. So if not for the rumours you heard online, do you have any personal issues with vaccines? And I suppose you already mentioned that you have taken many vaccines, you've given your son many vaccines. So if we're thinking specifically about COVID-19, what are your thoughts?
Right. So as you well said, not against vaccines, any at all. Actually, my son is completely vaccinated and so am I for all the other vaccines, not specifically the COVID one. But again, like, and then tapping exactly on what you said, I am 100% pro the health and the well-being of the whole borough that I love, where I live, especially talking about my son. So I will be open to anything that will help maintain the health and the well-being level up to the highest standard. So I'm open, but at the same time, like I said, again, a vaccine in regards to COVID right now, I would definitely have to really digest a whole bunch of information, hear what's online, around the world, what's been said, what, you know, the health ministry also as well is saying about it. And
I mean, this is interesting because you've mentioned, you know, the health ministry. Earlier, you also mentioned practitioners, so your GP. But it seems that there is still this huge level of distrust because effectively, if there is a vaccination program and that's introduced within the borough or throughout the whole of the UK, you still feel you have to go online. You still feel you have to investigate. So effectively, it seems that a lot of the women in Kensington, they're not willing to just accept or believe whatever they're told. They're not willing to just do as they're told. They will absorb the information, then they'll just rush off and go and do their own investigation. They'll be there in the playground, talking to the other mums. This is what they do. So effectively, who do you trust?
I think it will be like a combination of everything, of all of the above. And that's why I said I will not limit it to online research. I will not limit it to the mom's talk. I will not limit it to the aisle in the supermarket talk. I will just try to get my own conclusions. At the end, it's, you know, your body's your temple, and then you are the one that is actually responsible. So you will have to take the decision, the most, hopefully, the right one for yourself. So
really, what we're thinking here is this is all an amalgamation of information, amalgamation of data, and you need access to this. I think the women of Kensington, they want the facts, they want the data, they want that data in their faces. And I think what's really, really important to take back from this is that if that data is not front and centre, you are just going to go and look for it yourself.
Yes.
And I think what is really important here and what we can learn is that the data, the facts, the science, we've got to just put it out there. Whatever decision you're going to make, you know, for vaccinations, against vaccinations, you just need your data. Right. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And the data can come from various sources, whether it's going to be medical practitioner, whether it's going to be from the manufacturers of the vaccines. And you're not scared to see the data, you just want to see it.
All right. And then, but the important thing is that there's so much data out there.
Yeah. So it needs to be consolidated, right? So it needs to be in a readable format, consolidated, relevant, reliable. I suspect also tailored to your circumstance. I mean, your circumstances, mother, very young child, 4 years old. What are we going to do about his health and how are we going to reassure mothers such as yourself that we have a solution for that? So it's fantastic to really get this insight from you. Fantastic. We'll move swiftly on to the next question. If you're fully vaccinated, well, you are fully vaccinated. You can travel safely internationally. Still, there are many risks, especially when a new variant emerges. Would you be willing to think about your health in relation to COVID-19 under such circumstances? Because you know how it is right now. It's quite frustrating, actually, trying to go anywhere. When you go abroad, a lot of the time, many countries are still asking you to have proof of vaccination or to do PCR tests. Sometimes there are variations between what tests you have to do, depending on whether you have a child, whether the child is under 10 or whether the child is under 5 or whether the child is under 16. So there's lots of different rules out there, and traveling safely internationally is something that's also really, really important for us to consider in terms of getting a booster shot, not getting a booster shot, maintaining your health, thinking about your family as a whole, bearing in mind that you're not willing to get a booster shot. So I'm assuming that the only option would be for you would be the PCR test. That would be something that would actually enable you to travel. So What are your thoughts on international travel and COVID-19 and the safety and well-being for your family?
Right. So I did get like double vaccinated, not the booster yet, due to the fact that my family is actually abroad. So they're in America, and that's why I definitely needed to do that. And also the family of my partner is also not here. So, but luckily enough, as you rightly said, there are still other countries that are having still some restrictions, but the countries where I'm going to be visiting, luckily enough, the restrictions have been lifted. So, yay! For that. And then again, because I'm a mom of a 4-year-old, then it's not applicable, luckily enough, so far, until that, like, so my son doesn't need to be vaccinated so far. So I was not falling into that. But that being said, I will still be conscious enough and follow, just to keep the health in my family, follow, I mean, having a hand sanitizer all the time, sanitizing as much as I can, and also wearing a mask if they have to put that back in place, because all these restrictions have been lifted, luckily enough. So for at least the countries where I'm visiting so far.
Okay, fantastic. And the next question, COVID vaccines can alter DNA and genes. This statement was strongly believed when vaccines were first introduced. What are your thoughts on the matter?
So just the statement itself is scary to hear, because you're thinking, okay, so what is that? What exactly that will mean in the long run? And then that's something that I prefer not to then go forward with any additional vaccinations if I can.
Is this a rumor you've heard as well?
No, but I didn't hear this rumor, but like just hearing you asking the question, it's kind of scary thinking that it can alter the DNA or any of my genes, right?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm a non-clinical person, but yeah, it does sound scary. But the issue is, where has this question or statement come from? This is the issue, because I'm just having a conversation with you. I'm a non-clinical person. I just made a statement out of the blue. And you know, it's a question of saying, okay, is this true or is this false? And I've just said it, and it's like you believe what I've just said, even though I've got no facts, no data to back this up. I'm not a clinical individual, and there's no facts. There's nothing that actually backs up that statement. But it's just the fact that it's said, I guess, that makes you feel, wow. And I think it's the power in the word, isn't it? Maybe it's also the person who's saying it. Maybe I just have this way of saying something that can be believed. But essentially, it's the power in the word. And that's what I'm trying to get at with regards to vaccinations, vaccine hesitancy. What goes out there can be quite dangerous, because it is quite scary. Mm-hmm. I think there has been a lot of involvement from scientists and doctors. They've all come out. I remember earlier on with COVID, there were plenty that were coming out on TV and on the radio explaining COVID. Perhaps there was a messaging issue that wasn't being addressed. There was something that was not quite being said that has made this vacuum exist, whereby someone can just make a powerful statement like that, and that powerful statement has gravitas beyond belief. And, you know, you say something like this and the ladies of Kensington will just be there. I can just imagine them having their luncheons and just saying, now let us discuss the issue of the DNA. And they'll be out there with their notepads and with their iPads, and they'll be saying, right, we've got to do some research. So I see, I understand how it is that these statements can be believed. And I asked you that simple question, what are your thoughts on the matter? And straight away, it's almost like you believed it.
I mean, yes, and like you rightly said, maybe is it maybe the word alter by DNA currently, like I'm happy with how I am right now. Hopefully keep it that way. Why would I alter anything in my DNA or in my genes for that matter? So maybe it's creating that kind of consciousness and thinking, oh my God, then maybe this will have an impact in the long run and I want to avoid it. Or maybe, like you said, just going crazy and needing to have a little bit more of information, get more informed or understand.
Okay, fantastic. Well, it seems that we in the health sector, you know, medical technology sector that this podcast is all about, we've got a lot of work to do, because it seems that messages are getting out. Not everybody has a scientific background to understand whether something is likely to be false or not. A scientist will be able to say, oh, of course, this is crazy, of course. But someone on the street is not necessarily going to think that that's not true. They'll be thinking, well, why isn't it true? You know, there must be something somewhere that will say that it is true. And I heard the statement, someone, you know, in the street, you know, said it, so it must be true. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And I think this is something that I'm taking from this conversation. Okay, next question. Do you believe your immune system has somehow become stronger after getting a booster shot? Well, you didn't have a booster shot.
Right.
But do you think that your immune system would be stronger if you did get a booster shot?
Well, just because I don't think that I want to get the booster shot, I will say, and I'm sorry, but I will revert a little bit the question and be like, maybe, and just maybe, because I still haven't had COVID, and again, I'll touch wood.
Yeah.
Maybe, yes, then the two vaccine shots that I have already received were helping me get my immune system stronger. I do have to say that I have been very, very diligent in terms of washing my hands thoroughly all the time, wearing a mask and that. So I don't know if that also helped as well.
Okay.
Not going to big gatherings. But yeah, going back to the question itself, I haven't had the booster, I can say, but my immune system maybe got stronger due to the fact that I had the other two vaccines.
Okay, so I think that the immunology specialist would be delighted to hear this, because in terms of the messaging, the whole, you know, messaging around immune system, that seems to be something that doesn't cause anyone to be afraid. They see it potentially as more of a positive buzzword that is understood, you know, because some of these scientific terminologies can be sort of a little bit aggressive and sort of really in your face, and people think, oh God, shock, horror, what does that mean? But I think that, you know, when you say immune system, kind of has a soothing sort of connotation. And I think this is something that maybe we need to work on. Okay, next question. Right, so getting your shots lowers the risk of contracting COVID, which is fantastic. You've had your two shots and you've been very diligent, as you've mentioned, so you've not contracted it, which is fantastic to hear. So if a spike in cases was to occur, would you be willing to wear a mask in public spaces or take other precautions?
Yes, absolutely. I think I would be more keen to go back again and wearing the mask as opposed to doing a booster, again, for all the reasons that I mentioned previously. And like I said, hand sanitizer is challenging, though, with a four-year-old.
Yes. Okay, fantastic. Next question. What would help you most support your health and well-being as you learn to live with COVID-19?
Well, like we previously said, if we have more information, I don't know, more podcasts like this one, having more understanding of what's there, learning a little bit more about the reality, because like we said, there's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us to specifically digest it and then take what's, you know, what makes sense, because there are some things also that are data out there that totally doesn't make any sense. It's just like you said, kind of like you just... I don't want to say the word fool me because it's not the right word to use, but just like it will alter your DNA. And then I was like, oh my God, for sure. And then, you know, this is exactly how you feel.
Mm.
So yeah, so if the borough can give us as much as information as we can, especially if we have little ones.
It's bite-sized information, isn't it? It's the facts. It's first and foremost, knowing where we are from a scientific point of view and saying, okay, this is the science. And then saying, these are the people who need to have the information. These are the mums of Kensington, let's just use mums of Kensington as an example. You need to have this information. And therefore, what is really important is that we give it to you, you know, and it has to be information or data that's relevant, that is accessible, that is factual, that is backed up with the science. Because, you know, if it's sort of half and half, then you guys are just going to go off and do your own research.
You said all the adjectives that I was looking for. Accessible, facts that are reliable, that we know, and that it's easy for us to gather all that information.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, we're almost finished with this really insightful conversation. I've just got one more question to ask you. What have you learned about your own health and well-being as a result of the impact of COVID-19?
So to be very mindful, I have to say, of my own health, my family's health as well. It's opened up a for kind of, how can I put it this way? I mean, it's not that I was not cautious in terms of being very hygienic, because mm-hmm. I've always been, but it's taking it further.
Yes.
to the limit. So, mm-hmm. I mean, washing my hands constantly. Mm-hmm. Now I have every day inside, like, number one thing, apart from all my information and also my credit cards and everything, it is to have a hand sanitizer inside my hand.
I do, exactly. I mean, do you know what? I have a hand sanitizer in all my handbags. So I'm not even going to tell you how many handbags I have. It's, you know, but just to avoid complication, I just make sure, okay, laptop case, hand sanitizer, handbag, this one, evening bag, that one, clutch, that one. And that way, wherever I'm going, I just can just grab and walk. It's almost like, you know, that hand sanitizer fashion exactly. parade. Yeah.
So that's one of the things actually that I, you know, has stayed with me. And I think it will carry on staying with me, because, you know, we don't really see the germs, unfortunately, but they're everywhere.
It's true. And I think that you're totally right. With this whole COVID-19 situation, I always give this that word, the situation. It really has opened everybody's eyes to so much. And definitely just simple things like just making sure that you, in the same way that if you were going out somewhere and it's really hot, it's, you know, very hot day today here in London, you always make sure you've got a bottle of water, you know, just to make sure you're hydrated. It's the same with just having your sanitizer there. You've got your personal hygiene as well. You're always thinking, without being obsessive, mm-hmm. about what you can do to take care of yourself and your health and your well-being. And again, I think with COVID-19, just making sure that you stay safe, making sure that you've got good ventilation, making sure that you can do everything you can to avoid being ill. That's really important. And there are so many people who have unfortunately succumbed to this illness, whether it's through long COVID or whether they had a short bout of the illness. And it's very, very upsetting to see people who are very, very ill and haven't been able to recover fully. But it's good to know that we have scientists, we have the Health Inequalities Programme, that are looking into all the data, looking into the facts, looking into the opinions of residents of RBKC and trying to see what we can do to support you, because that's what this is really about. It's about supporting the residents of RBKC. And, you know, hopefully when we do programs such as this, other boroughs can actually also take on board what we're doing and think about what they can do also to support those communities. So thank you so much for taking time to speak to us. It's been a delight, and I really have learned a lot from you. And
so did I.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And well, it's been a delight. Okay, so we're closing off now. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.